Everything kind of came to a head with respect to this particular issue when the CRO attempted to sell some assets and Mr. Dondero allegedly interfered with those sales. So some of the interesting things that happened, I mean, there's a text that was sent from Mr. Dondero to the CRO that said, be careful what you do, last warning. And so I sent that text to Aaron right before we came on here just to see what he'd do.
I said, I know what you did last summer.
Yeah, and he was like, it's kind of ominous. So that was interesting. So eventually the debtor sought a TRO that that was granted December 10th, 2020. A month later, the debtor filed a motion for civil contempt, alleging various violations of the TRO, one of them being that he didn't read the TRO. And that was actually, there was a lot of conflicting testimony about that fact. The other one was that his cell phone was thrown in the garbage, and there was a lot of back and forth about who threw the phone in the garbage, which was a little unclear. Ultimately, the court determined that the phone was estate property since Highland Capital purchased the phone and paid the bills, and since Mr. Dondero had control over that property and there was a destruction of the property, there was a potential spoliation issues.
I mean, who doesn't have a burner phone among us? We all do.
Right. I thought, well, my kids better not have one, because I will find out and then make their life hell. So the other thing that was pretty clear was that there was communications between Mr. Dondero and the former GC of Highland Capital. There was a very clear statement in the TRO that there could not be such communications absent very narrow circumstances. So that was kind of a smoking gun. The other stuff, fact disputes, but this was pretty clear, violation of the TRO. So in discussing the remedies, the court noted that the bankruptcy court unquestionably has civil as opposed to criminal contempt powers. If the primary purpose of the sanction is to punish the violator for violating the stay and violating the order and to vindicate the court's authority, that's criminal in nature. If the purpose of the relief sought is to coerce compliance and to compensate the other party for the noncompliance, that's civil in nature. And so this one was a civil contempt order. The court then evaluated different remedies in terms of a sanctions award. I'm not going to go through all of those elements. The one element that I thought was interesting that the court can consider is the financial resources of the person violating the TRO and also the burden. So there's a lot of discretion there. The court ended up issuing a sanctions order for $450,000 and $100,000 for every subsequent rehearing or appeal or cert petition that was that's not successful. So I thought that was kind of an interesting remedy. But again, right, like the purpose here is to coerce compliance. So I thought that there was an interesting discussion of the difference between the civil and criminal.
It's a fine line because, I mean, why else? Yes, you can always say it's to bring in compliance, but it's also vindication, isn't it?
Yeah, so I guess where there's sort of an overlap is the fees, right? So are you punishing but here it was compensating the other party because they had to file the motion to compel compliance. And that was not just debtor fees, but there was also allegedly, you know, UCC fees and local council fees. The court didn't go through and itemize everything, but determined that the $450,000, based on the evidence in the record, was the appropriate amount.
So what's the source of the court's authority for contempt or sanctions?
Oh, yeah, I mean, the court did cite 105 for authority, which, of course, gives the court broad powers. And then in the context of the 105, analyze the case law to determine, you know, that the court did have authority on the civil contempt side as opposed to the criminal.
Yeah, I think courts also just have inherent authority mm-hmm. when it comes to that sort of power of sanction. So if you don't read the TRO, it doesn't really apply to you.
Yeah, plausible deniability.
I forgot my joke.
What? Oh, Omar forgot his joke.
Yeah, because go back. I was going to say
this
slide right, and then I was going to say advance the slide. And then it was going to be that. Darn it.
Joke.
The joke didn't land. Apologize. I've got another one later.
We'll go back to the cute
Omar's
dog
got jokes.
Aaron, why don't you talk about another Fifth Circuit case? And this one should be popular with professionals seeking compensation. So could you give us a little history lesson?
So Judge King actually set this up perfectly when he was talking about his mediation of the Warner case, which I didn't know this until this morning, apparently he almost settled it. So ProSnex was very close to still being the law. For those of us who have lived through ProSnex, I mean, this predates my practice. From 1998 until about 6 years ago in the Warner decision, ProSnex was the law of professional compensation. If you were an estate professional, you could not be paid, or at least the standard was, you should not be paid unless you could show a material, identifiable, quantifiable, however many adjectives you want to add, benefit to the estate, which is, it's very hard to do if you're just filing your MORs, you're just filing schedules, you're talking to creditors, all things that are necessary to the administration of the estate, they can't show a benefit. It's also really hard to do if you're doing things that your client asks you to do and exercising its fiduciary duties, but it doesn't work out for a variety of reasons. Either the court denies a sale or a plan, or, you know, as I'm going to talk about in a minute, your client goes rogue on you and just leaves in the middle of the case. So the community it's the community home financial services case from this year could have been a test case, or was a test case, on the strength of the Warner decision. The facts are pretty alarming. And let me back up. Warner, again, is the case that now says you can get your fees approved if prospectively at the time your services are rendered.